This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content.
When I die and I lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky. Going up to the spirit in the sky.
Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Markev program, Joe Markev.
And we're there. We're there.
You're there.
We're there.
We're here.
Well, you know, this is quite an experience. You know what happens in life? Every day is an experience, right?
Oh, yes.
And when you're a born-again Christian, I think there's different flavors of born-again Christians. Some are extremely verbal about it. Mm-hmm. Some are more laid back. Some wear it vividly on their shoulder. Some wear it on top of their head. And every once in a while, an opportunity comes along to not offend, but to communicate your beliefs.
Right.
And, you know, Dave, I look at you as the latter group. You're not one of those that jumps up and down and says, you know, hey, you've got to be born again now or we're going to send you straight to Hades, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. Here comes Pastor Tom. You can't tell. Are you coming in to pick on us or no? You're whispering something, but it's not coming out, Tom. Boy, you're stealing a chair. Is that what you... See, he was... Are you...
He's not here.
Who's not here?
I'm not here.
Jonathan, you're not here?
I'm not here.
Okay, Jonathan's not here, but he's here. Tom is saying he's not here, but Tom's not here.
This is confusing for our listeners who can't see anything that's going on.
That's right. They don't know a thing, and they're probably better off.
Don't ask Jonathan any questions. Jonathan, what's your name?
No.
So
refer that to my counselor.
Right? See, those of you that don't know, we have an internal system here. Pastor Tom's been running this station now for 25 or 30 years. And he's not listening to me, but he's standing right here.
Okay.
And pretty soon, Tom is going to retire, maybe 6 months or so from now. Is that fair?
It's hard to say, really.
And then Pastor Dave, who has been helping out producing the shows now for, 6 months or so? Or a year?
Considerably longer, about over a year.
Has it really been? See, time flies when you're having fun.
And even when you're not sometimes.
And then Pastor Jonathan, I say this, and I use the word pastor because each one of these people are ordained ministers, and each one wears multiple hats, meaning they not only work at the radio station and volunteer and put in their time and help and do what's here, but they also have congregations and do God's work on their own time. So Jonathan is the grasshopper.
The grasshopper.
Oh yeah, you got to have the teacher, and you're the grasshopper, you know, or the cricket. Right. We can call you that. Well, he's got to be trained to take over this thing and take over this role. And he kind of cringes a little bit when I come in, but that's not bad. So he's not really here, but he's here. Is that the best way to phrase it?
We've learned to consider that cringing as isometric exercise.
Very good. I like that. Yeah.
Isometric.
Yeah, that's not a word you hear
muscle
very often.
Muscle tensing.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, are you clenching the belly right now?
Clenching, but it's not working.
It's worked very well. It's grown like crazy.
Yeah. So what's happening in your world, Joe?
Well, that was Trini Lopez. A golfer. Uh-huh. He used to say, you know, the seniors golf tournament.
Yeah.
It's not a seniors, it's the round belly golf tournament.
Okay. Oh, well.
I'm glad I don't qualify.
So what I was leading to was I got rained out today. I couldn't go home in between. And so I was forced to go to Monero's here in town. Mm-hmm. And I went into Monero's and nobody's in the place except at the bar, so I was forced to sit at the bar. Can you imagine this happening?
You were forced to sit at the bar.
Now, I was saying this, and I mean it sincerely. We're there, and there was the bartender and one other customer. We're sitting at the bar, and the subject of Jesus came up, and I let it be known that I'm a born-again Christian. And the bartender let it be known she's a born-again Christian. Mm. And the one customer from Greenwich, Connecticut, in one of that, you know, the low rent district.
Low rent.
let it be known. For those of you that don't know, Greenwich, Connecticut is one of the wealthier communities. It's a suburb of New York City. And, I mean, it is wealthy. He is a born-again Christian. So we had a community effort going into telling stories and how we became what we became. Mm. And you know, Jonathan, Dave, Vince, it's just a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know you've gone through them yourself, that you've bumped into people just by accident and you get to share experiences on what Jesus and God have done for you in your life. And it was just a wonderful experience. So here I am today, Vince Rosino, CPA, Joe Martek, financial advisor, in our third year plus.
More what? Than
that. We've been here on this radio station.
Oh, right.
I think it's longer than that, isn't it?
I know, say, third year plus.
We celebrated our third.
We've celebrated third. We're into our fourth year.
Yeah,
I thought so. Doing the radio shows, and I just want to say thank you, Lord, that you've given us this opportunity to do that, and what we've been able to do as individuals and as a group to help people has been wonderful. We taught Dave what a pizza is.
I'll be forever grateful for that, too.
He's been enjoying those pizzas for years, and now it has meaning.
Yeah, I can't eat one now without looking at a slice and saying, how much is this worth?
You've got your mutual fund there.
You do know that story, right, Jonathan? Yeah. And I get a kick. For those of you that are new listeners, When we teach people what a mutual fund is, that you have to look at a pizza, a great big pie, and say, huh, that's a pizza pie. Well, let's assume that inside of that pizza pie, there are 100 different companies, that there's 100,000 or 1,000 shares of stock in each one of those companies inside of that pie, and that is now called a mutual fund. Mm-hmm. And that mutual fund is owned by Jonathan and Dave, and Vince Rosino comes along and says, hey, Jonathan and Dave, I want a piece of that pizza pie where I can get a piece of all of those 100 companies. Can you slice me out a little tiny sliver? And that's exactly what happens. You get a portion of that whole pie, all 100 companies or 500 or 1,000 or 100, it makes no difference. And you now have your money spread out into this great big pie. What's the advantage of that? Well, if one of the companies gets in trouble, you've got 99 that might carry it. So the benefit of the mutual fund is it spreads your risk out over many companies where you don't have to have $1 million worth of money to buy stock in all the companies, you can have $10,000 and still own 100 or 200 or 500 companies. It depends how many is in the pie. Now, what happens is Jonathan and Dave, who own that pie, which means they own the company, they raised $100 million so they could put $1 million worth of stock for each one of those companies into that pie. And the way they make a living is they charge a fee for individual people to come out and get a sliver. Now, that fee can be anywhere from as low as, and I don't take these numbers as gospel because these numbers change depending on the company, but they can be low as 0.25% per year or as much as 5% per year depending on the makeup of the pie. Because some companies have, I wouldn't necessarily say more risk, but they have more user influence, meaning Dave and Jonathan would have to work a lot harder to make sure that those companies are the right companies inside the pie. Now, if you buy all American companies and they're in the S&P 500, that's pretty easy to copy that. Mm-hmm. But if you buy companies from Asia and Europe and all over the world, you might have to do a lot more homework and pay a lot more money to put that pie together. So some of them charge more money. But you, the consumer, now get to share in that entire pie. Now, that pie last year is an example. If you'd have been in the S&P 500, as 500 of America's biggest companies, you'd have made around 19%.
Mm, wow.
Translation, the pie can grow and the pie can shrink.
And the pie
last year, the pie grew.
Pie 19%. Grew. Now, this year so far, the S&P 500 might only be up 1 or 2% since the first of the year. Does that mean it's going to continue that way? We don't know. Nobody in the world really knows. But what you're looking at is you're saying, hey, I want to be involved in American business, and I want to be involved in America's biggest companies, so that is the pie that I want to be in. And it might make 5 or 10%, and it may not make anything. But last year it made 19. So that's the whole concept of the mutual fund. So is that a fair analogy, Dave? Is that how you learned it?
That's how I learned it, and I appreciate the fact that you've not deviated from the original teaching.
Yeah, you know, listen.
It adds to credibility. Really.
I think so, yeah.
So if he changes his mind every other time, you never know.
What's your name again?
You know, it's an excellent analogy, and it really did help me. You did say, when you were describing that, and I don't want to divert the course of this program.
You're going to anyway.
Well, just because it made me think of insurance companies and the issue of reinsurance. Uh-huh. Many people don't know.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up.
Oh, well, I am too.
That's a wonderful subject, reinsurance. You know how few people ever think about reinsurance?
No reason to for the average person.
Well, let's take any insurance company. I don't care which one it is. I don't care how big or how small it is. Let's say it's car insurance. And they issue all of these car insurance policies. And each one has a liability limit, let's say, of $100,000 or $200,000 or $300,000. And now they've got 10,000 of those. Multiply that times that $100,000 or $200,000 or $300,000 worth of potential loss based on catastrophe. Our governments, which is a good thing. Now, I'm not a big government person, but they come up and they say, hey, look, we need to know you've got enough resources behind you to pay these claims. Well, there's no such thing as any one company normally, remember that word.
Is it normal?
Having all of these resources. So what these companies do, they go to outside companies called reinsurance companies that insure the insurance company. So one of the biggest reinsurance companies in the world is called Lloyd's of London. Mm-hmm. That's just one, where they have resources that are in the multi billions of dollars. Now, Dave and Jonathan start this insurance company and they've got $4.11, but they need $50 million worth of reinsurance. They have to get approved, and this big reinsurance company comes in and says, okay, guys, we'll back you up in case you have all these claims. And the state, normally, if they approve you to do all of this stuff, the whole plan works, but the consumer is protected. The biggest single thing is making sure the consumer, because the consumer doesn't know this stuff. We buy our car insurance, we buy our house insurance, we buy our life insurance. What do we know? I mean, nobody ever reads these contracts. The key thing is this: the state of Florida, among other states, has a state insurance commission that says if that company is approved to do business in the state of Florida, they stand behind that company. They're, mm-hmm. You're protected in case that company gets in trouble.
Right.
That's big stuff. Yep. 99% of the people don't know this, but if you deal with what I'm going to call a legitimate insurance agent that's in business for the long run, he's only going to deal with companies that are, quote, admitted companies to do business in the state. Now, if he deals with a company that's not admitted, he will tell you you're dealing with a company that's a surplus lines or a non-admitted company. Now, why would that happen? Well, let's say you have a particular business that's high risk. Mm. A lot of companies don't want that.
Yeah.
But there are surplus lines or companies that are not admitted that are very good companies that say, we'll take the risk, but obviously the premium is going to be a bit higher. So let's just say you're in the bar business or certain businesses that are high risk. You demolish buildings for a living. Certain businesses have higher risk for liability and for potential loss. So if you're dealing with any kind of normal people, they want to make sure you're a legitimate company. You've got to be licensed and you've got to be insured. So these reinsurance companies are there to back up the companies that might be your insurance company. Did I explain that?
You did a very good job. It also, reinsurance helps to lower your premium because the company's spreading the risk over a larger number of other insurance companies.
Look at this man go. I'm impressed, Dave.
You got it. You do understand this.
Jonathan, you're only as good as the reinsurer.
Just keep that in mind.
That's right. Well, of course.
You know, Lloyds of London had their issues, too, a few years ago.
However, they are the highest rated company in the globe right now, as far as rating agencies go. But what happens is there are numerous reinsurance companies out there, but the key is this. Normally, the state, whether it's Florida or any other state, says if you're an admitted carrier, the state will back you up to certain limits.
And who is the state?
Pardon me?
Who is the state? It's us.
Well, it's
so it comes out of, it really is, it's funded basically from tax revenues.
No, it's not.
It's got to be.
No, it's not. It way to go, my man. This is, I'm impressed.
Well, who's paying for it if they go default?
Every insurance policy written in the state of Florida has to contribute a certain amount of money to the state fund.
Right.
Every insurance company has to contribute money.
But it's an insurance fund.
So the state now collects money from every, whether it's car insurance, health insurance, homeowners insurance, whatever kind it is. Money goes, if it's an admitted carrier, money goes into the state fund to protect us in case a company gets in trouble. Now, the state then says, okay, fine, XYZ company, you went bust. We come out and we have X number of dollars in the fund and we're going to protect the clients that are there in the fund. Got it?
Is it like Social Security or is it really a separate fund with money in it?
Technically, it's a separate fund, but where you are leading in where the taxpayer is ultimately liable, the truth is if there's not enough money in the fund, the taxpayer is liable.
That's
ultimately. Yeah. However,
it's like the federal government, it's an FDIC, essentially.
Well, same FDIC concept. Is federal government, but guess who funds the federal government?
Is
us taxpayers. So money is put in. Every time we go to the bank and we deposit $10, their government this bank has to give X number of cents or mills, pennies on a dollar, to the government for this FDIC insurance. And there's no such thing as a free lunch, again, unless you're a politician, of course. But
they do get free lunches.
Well, they
congressional,
do.
Congressional all kinds cafeteria
of. They get lots of good stuff. But the point I'm trying to say is, now, here's a bit of useless knowledge. In my knowledge, if an insurance company has gone bust in the past, money did not come out of the state fund. The state comes up and says, okay, you 10, 15 different companies that all contribute to this, you are going to take over 10%, 5%, 3%, 8%, 9% of that business, and you're going to honor that contract right to the penny, or you're not going to do business in the state of Florida. So the companies all do. So
it's like a signed risk, right? Do they get their share of it?
Well, it's called, you want to do business, we are trusting the state to make sure that the companies that are approved to do business are legitimate companies. And you know, again, Vince, you and I both know we are not big supporters of big government. But on the other hand,
it has its purpose.
Government does
government,
have
there
it.
Is a purpose.
And this is government. One. It has, yeah. Because us as consumers, and I'm talking not only consumers, me as an agent, you, I mean, we are, quote, financial professionals, but right. Reality is this. You cannot physically understand every one of these things. So our state governments and then our federal government are there backing up all this stuff. And it's worked, and it's worked very, very well to protect the consumer. Now, if somebody comes to you and says, hey, I'm going to sell you car insurance and my company's in the Bahamas, I'd be a little worried. And then how do you find out? Well, you contact the state of Florida and say, is that an admitted carrier? And you can do this online.
Should have a list. Yeah,
and if the company says no, then you a red flag comes up big time. It's not an admitted carrier. Then you find out with, okay, hey, Bahamas company, who's your reinsurance company? It's Dave and Jonathan.
With our $4.11.
But they're $4. That's if they combine their assets.
Really? Yeah.
So
I had the 11 cents. But
You don't deal with them.
Yeah.
And let me go back to the whole concept of what Vince Rizzino and Joe Martek are doing here. We started doing these radio shows back in 2004, and the concept was very simple. Joe Martek's a financial advisor. I'm an old guy, a lot in business. And then I brought in Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, and Greg Fasula, attorney, who, by the way, were on our morning show this morning that I don't talk about on 1590 AM. They both showed up, along with Alan Love, guest groupie.
Guest groupie, yeah.
How is Greg? Doing good?
I love I love Greg Fasula.
Yeah,
you know I love.
He's a great guy.
He's one of the better people I've ever known. But he's a liberal, you know, politically. So we don't do it on this show, but on that show we picked on him unmercifully. But Greg holds his own.
Oh yes,
not that we necessarily agree with him, but anyway, the whole concept was, and when we started the group back in 2004, was different areas of expertise from credible local professionals with integrity that are going to tell people the truth no matter what. And in putting the group together, as you know, Vince, this didn't happen overnight.
Oh, no.
It took a while. I met Vince, I don't know how many years ago it was, by accident, and we started communicating, and I was looking for a CPA for years and years, but here comes the magic thing. Local with integrity. Not young. Boy, you sure qualified for that one. You're not.
Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome.
It's been about 8 years, Joe.
Has it been that long already?
Yeah, it's been that long.
You know, and the concept was, I didn't want somebody new in business. I want somebody that's already established themselves, that has built a practice, that has credibility. And Vince, not only is he a CPA, he's a forensic CPA, which means he's recognized by the court system as an expert witness. And in his past, he was a college professor.
But not at Columbia.
I picked on him about that because even though he taught in a very prestigious, very large university, nobody ever heard of it. It's Columbia is the one that is got the magic name.
Well, I wanted to correct that because I never taught at Columbia.
I know that.
I did. State University of New York.
I know
Old
that.
Westbury.
I say very prestigious, big university.
Yes.
But not Columbia.
No.
And then back when we started, it was Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, and Greg Fasula, attorney. Now, the word independent insurance agent, that became a big subject of mine because back in my youth, this is in the early 70s, when 90% of the people here weren't even born yet, that are listening to this, I hope. If you're a captive insurance agent, that means you work for one insurance company. And that one insurance company says, we do 60, 70, 40, 50% of what you're going to need to take care of people that walk in the door. And if that one particular company changes their mind and they don't accept or they non-renew or they cancel, you as an agent are in deep caca. Now, the independent agent does not work for one insurance company. He works for the client, and he will have 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. Dan Warren has in excess of 100 companies under his umbrella. In my not too humble opinion, remember I mentioned that word earlier? I'm not necessarily happy about this characteristic of mine. But in my not too humble opinion, he is the premier independent insurance agent on the Treasure Coast, because he's only been in business 35 or 40 years, and he's got a monster book of business, and he has the best companies in the business. And when one company falls out of favor, he's got 10 other or 15 or 20 other companies that he can go, and his people make it a point to make sure you as a client are taken care of. Now, they've given me a few lectures, meaning, Joe, don't have any more tickets and accidents. I get that regularly from the staff. Joe, how do you expect us to give you a good rate if you keep having tickets and accidents? And I said, that's not my problem. Yes, it is your problem, Joe.
It's not my problem.
I'm just giving you the lecture that I get. Anyway. So, and in Greg Fasula, attorney, one of the first things I do when I meet a new suspect or prospect is talk about a will or a trust. If you don't have such a vehicle, I have a bit of a obligation, I feel, to put the cart and the horse in the right area, because you're talking about saving money, investing money for long-term, short-term. Well, let's make sure that all the horses and carts are properly stacked. So I would start talking to attorneys. So let's say Pastor Dave was one of my prospects, and I say, Dave, do you have a will? And he say, no. And I said, well, we need to get one done. Let me talk to you why. You not only need a will, you need a power of attorney. So in case you're out to lunch because you had an accident, somebody can make decisions, pay your bills. You need a health care surrogate, meaning what if you're in a hospital and you're out to lunch and you can't talk? You got to have somebody that can make a decision to operate or put you under or do whatever. Doctors don't like doing that without somebody given authority. You also have what's called a living will. A living will means you want to keep me alive artificially or let me die. Some people say make it a week, 2 weeks, or just do it whenever you feel like. Those are all documents that are not that hard to do, but they're no fun, but they're smart things to do. So I kind of push my clients into getting these things taken care of. You can get a trust also, which is a bit more complicated, but you may or may not need a trust. We're not going to go into that. So I would interview attorneys. Let's just say I was seeing Pastor Jonathan here at his house, and he lived in South Stewart. So what I would do is I'd say, hey, Jonathan, we need to do this will or trust. And Jonathan would say, okay, Joe, what do I do? And I said, well, let me go find an attorney that I think is going to do a good job for you, and then I'll get back and I'll go with you, and we will go make sure we get this job taken care of. So then I'd go interview this attorney, and the attorney would be very nice to me. Nice guy. Then I'd bring you in with your spouse, and all of a sudden he'd get pretentious and arrogant. And sometimes, in my not too humble opinion again, he would overcharge you for this service, and you didn't know what was a fair price. But I know. Well, he'd make me sick to my stomach, so I would never go again. But in the meantime, here you are, poor Jonathan, that got kind of stuck into the thing. And by the way, Pastor Dave just said I should give out the phone number class, which I'm negligent here. And Vince, you're supposed to remind me too. You're falling apart on your job.
And Alan's not here.
Alan's not here. That's his
that's
role.
That's Alan's
blame
job.
Blame Alan, yeah.
888-221-8990. Toll free. 888-221-8990. Those of you that don't know, you are supposed to keep that phone number next to your phone. 1-888-221-8990. If you got a cell phone, you don't have to use the 1. 888-221-8990. And if you don't want to talk to us on the radio, you can call the radio station anytime. Pastor Dave, Jonathan, Tom will take your name and number and have us call you back. 888-221-8990. Okay, Dave, did I do a good job?
Superb.
Way to go. He's easy now. You got to give him credit. Okay, so where was I?
Right where you are.
You forgot. I forgot. Thanks
well,
a lot.
You were talking about the attorney, pretentious and arrogant.
I was trying to keep Dave get awake over here. Jonathan, you're supposed to be prodding him every once in a while to make sure he stays awake.
Kick me with that
foot. Move that foot. So, yeah. Greg Fasula, I did the same thing I did with any other attorney. I would meet somebody, and they was in close proximity, and I took him into Greg, and Greg all of a sudden became a good listener. He was not pretentious. Mm-hmm. He was not arrogant. More important, he was fair. And he also, when people said they had questions and he'd say, you really don't need to do this because that's waste of money, he would say, this is all you need to do. Rather than looking at how he could make money, he was just doing the right thing for people. So I just did that on purpose to see if the volume's turned up.
Okay, that's a good
call. Hasn't come in yet. See what happened? We have this intricate phone system here that's antique from 1903. So,
two soup cans and a piece of wire. Yeah, it works real well.
String.
That string you hold up to your head.
Can't afford
wire. Wire's newer technology.
Hey, this is nonprofit. You know, listen, we don't go high tech here. Anyway, I will tell you, Greg Fasula is one of the better people I've ever known in my whole life. He's just a flat good guy. And I often said to him, I said, Greg, do they teach you this stuff in law school? He goes, no. You know, but he is. He's just a genuinely good person. He's probably the only attorney in the world I know personally that I'd like to have as a next door neighbor. Not that he'd move next door to me, but bottom line is, Greg's just a good guy. So he tells people the truth. He has high integrity. He's gone out of his way to help people, and that was now at this point in my life, 25 years later, I don't care what the question is. I go to Greg first. Mm-hmm. Greg says, Joe, I don't know about that, but here's a guy down the street that I know that has integrity. This is the guy to go to. And that's the way we operate as a group. Which brings me to, already I talked about Vince Rizzino, but CPA was critical because a lot of people can do taxes. A lot of people go through a 1 hour or 2 hour or $5 course and they can do taxes. Now that might work for some people, and I'm sure it does.
Well, listen, it depends on your circumstances.
It depends on
some people, TurboTax works fine for them.
Yeah, but the key thing is, if there's any complication, I mean, how many, Vince and I, we laugh kind of, because I have clients that have got substantial money, and they don't want to pay the $200 or $300, and they will go and end up losing $500 or $1,000 or $2,000 because they didn't do it right. Now they got to go back in and redo it.
I had a client come in just last week, Joe.
Same thing.
Somebody else prepared the return.
Yeah.
And they found out it wasn't done right, and they came in to me. To redo it, basically.
Well, so the key thing is, it's sometimes it pays to have a professional who has the integrity, has the credentials to get things taken care of. We almost had a call.
Oh, and besides that, Joe, it's not just the tax prep at that point. You know, you engage in a conversation as we are having here in this room, and you'll be surprised what comes up in the conversation. When you talk about children, what do you have, a will, or do you have a trust? Do I need a trust? All these things come up in conversation. So it's not just, here's my stuff and go prepare a tax return. It's really more than that. And my clients, most of them, I'd say majority, appreciate that about the relationship, because it's not just about the tax prep.
Well, I think everybody in our group, we're relationship people. Like Dan would say, you listen to the commercials on TV for car insurance, says in 15 minutes we can do this. And he says, no. You know, you're going to spend at least a half an hour, because we're going to get to know each other, what the long-term ramifications are. Because what if you get the wrong insurance policy and you get sued and you lose everything you've got because you didn't ask the right question? Well, yeah. you all of these little things can make up. You know, one of the perks of getting old, when you've worked 20, 40, 50, 60 years to achieve some level of
competency.
And where you think maybe you can retire and you can eat every day regularly, et cetera, and all of a sudden
some financial security.
Yeah, and a disaster comes along and you lose everything you've got because you didn't plan properly, and it wasn't your fault necessarily. You just weren't given the proper advice. Now, sometimes you didn't ask the question, but very often people don't know the question to ask. So I do this regularly with clients. I'll say, I know the questions to ask. So what we're going to do is I'm going to run these questions by you, and very often I'll get on the phone with a client or a prospect, and we will call the people that they've got whatever they've got with and find out what they've got. And all of a sudden people say, well, Joe, I didn't know I had that or didn't have that. I had a client that called me this week or sent me a text, and she needs to get a mortgage. She says, Joe, this is your client so-and-so. I need to buy a house. I'm going to get a mortgage. So she said, who do I go see? So I gave her Mike Paulus's phone number. And I said, and by the way, text me back or call me back. Let me know how it works out. But when she first became a client of mine, she came in with what she had, and she didn't know what she had. Well, she walked out knowing what she had for the first time in years. And it made her just feel much, much better. It made me feel better that she was in much better shape than she thought she was.
Right.
But she did not know how good a shape she was in. Pastor Dave, you know, you're supposed to be jumping in saying, call this number, Dave.
Well, that's only a last resort. That's why I have the sign.
If he doesn't want any on-air exposure.
Let me try it then. If you'd call it 888-221-8990, that's our toll-free number from anywhere.
You know, right. And we're not supposed to put Jonathan on a spot, yeah. But you could teach him how to read that sign too, you know.
Well, he knows. He taught me.
Actually. Does he know those numbers up
fundraiser?
There?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, a lot of preachers are not good at numbers.
I wake up in the middle of the night telling that number, you know, because I've said it so much.
You know, this is one of these facts of life where you have this nightmare at night and you're still on the radio and Joe's asking you about that pizza again.
Then I get hungry. I have to go to the fridge.
I know. Yeah. I know. David, by the way, gave me some, you know, he's a cartoon artist. And you're a very talented artist.
Yes.
I'm getting framed, the pizza one.
Oh, okay.
And then I've got three of them that he's done for me. The other one, I go lobster diving, and he had a cute cartoon. Anyway, they're getting framed. You're going to take up a whole wall before I die, I think. Great, we're going.
Well, I'm honored. Thank you.
1-888-221-8990. So then, let me talk a little bit about Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart. During the height of this last Great Recession, real estate became a monster subject because the value of houses plummeted. And many people had paid too much, and their options were continue to pay too much, have it foreclosed on, taken away from them, have a major problem with their credit, create a deed back where the lender is willing to take the deed back and forgive them, which didn't happen very often, or what was called a short sale, which was a whole new concept where they were willing to let the customer sell their house for less than it was owed, and the bank would accept that and let the customer leave and not have liability. Now, it didn't always happen, but it became critical to have a person that understood the difference between those and that it
time and from the tax point of view, it really took a lot of years to work its way out. I mean, every year I had somebody going through some foreclosure sale. Then the Congress changed the law with regard to what losses you could take. They were more generous than they are now, but they had to respond.
It was an interesting period of time that required a great deal of expertise, and that was Ms. Victoria Lloyd, who's been a realtor since 1978 or 80. And she's only 30 years old. It's kind of a miracle.
It's a miracle.
You know how some people, women. You ever notice that men age, but women don't?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, and then which brought us to Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. And back during the height of the recession, you heard constantly in the media that there was no mortgage money available. People couldn't get a mortgage, which was never true. The reality was, it went back to the old rules. The old rules were you had to prove that you could afford it. What a concept.
What a concept.
Yes. You know,
amazing.
You had to show that you had a job and you can afford to make the payment. And if you had a job and you were fully in debt and you couldn't afford to make the payment, for some reason you didn't qualify for a mortgage. What a concept. So Mike's whole thing was he showed people back again basically the rules, but more important than that, he showed that there were still programs available with no money down. The United States Department of Agriculture had a no money down mortgage through this entire period of time. Zip. Is their phone ringing outside?
It's ringing out there, but I don't
several lines. That's outside. People are calling in several people.
So what happened is that mortgage was always available, and then FHA, VA, was no money down. Never changed. That program was always available. FHA was 3.5% down. That program, I think, was always available. Mm-hmm. The difference happened, there was conventional mortgages that if you didn't qualify for one of those three, there became a little bit more of a problem. Hmm. So, and Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, which are quasi-government agencies, they would buy mortgages from lenders and banks, and they had rules, and you had to have certain limits. They wouldn't go above $675,000 for a loan, et cetera. So if you had a house that was $1 million and you wanted to buy it and you wanted an $800,000 mortgage, you couldn't go through a government agency. You had to go through a private agency, which those were more difficult to get. But as long as you stayed within the confines of these already approved instruments, they were always available. And then today, the pendulum is swinging and making it easier and easier because the economy is now in good position as far as the government's concerned. So people, the qualification, necessary qualifications have become good. Not necessarily as lax as they were during the height of the recession, but they have systems in place today that allow people to qualify for mortgages that they did not have a year and 2 and 3 and 4 years ago. And Mike Paulus, one of the magics about Mike, if you walk into a bank and you say, hey, I want to apply for a mortgage, they'll let you apply, you sign out paperwork, and 2-3 weeks later, they'll tell you yes, no, or maybe. Mike will tell you in 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. I mean, that to me is the magic. And he's not going to cost any more or less, probably. Well, I know he doesn't cost any more than anybody else. And he just does. We've had an unsolicited testimonial a week or two ago. Somebody called in, and what a wonderful job they did for them. The daughter, mm-hmm. the mother called in and said, Mike did a magnificent job. And you and I both know, between Dan and Mike, many people that may not have qualified because of ratios of income to debt between Mike and Dan and insurance, got people down the road and got them to be able to buy the house they wanted to buy that they may not have qualified for.
Well, Dan was able to help by driving down the premium on the insurance,
yeah.
which then allowed them to qualify. There Without that drop in premium, they wouldn't have the ratio, that's as it. You said.
So the whole concept of our group basically is 6 local professionals with integrity and experience. And I even without Alan, I get a kick on it. Alan is not here for me to pick on. But we have combined experience roughly 200 years. And I always say, Alan, you know, with you, we got over 300.
Close.
Now, for those of you that listen to the show regularly, you know, Alan, I call him our messy Jew. That's my favorite experience. But Alan is a messianic Jew, which means he converted to Christianity a few years ago. But he was born and raised in the Jewish faith and still honors traditions in the faith, which are magnificent traditions. But he's a card-carrying, born-again Christian, one of the better people we've all known. And he's just done he's been our grouping. And been a part of the group and just helped people and answered and kind of stirs the pot on occasion. And
I miss him over there. He always comes in with very valuable questions.
You know, my nickname for him is Speedy.
Speedy.
for those that don't know Alan, Alan got a double whammy. He's very, 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 very much disabled. He never, ever, ever, ever complains. He has had the double whammy of the stick hit him, and he's a retired prosecuting attorney from Wisconsin, and just a flat good guy. And we really appreciate his input to the show. I'm supposed to give the number again?
If you will. It's your program, but I was just prompting.
I mean, I see that look in your eye and the dagger's throwing me. Joe, 1-888-221-8990. Now, again, that's toll-free from any place, and you are supposed to keep that number close by. Keep it. When I got baptized, 1982, our preacher used to say, okay, class, pay attention. Mm-hmm. That was how he would preach. And he would get, okay, open the Bible up. Now, you see what it says here? Let's talk about that. So, class, I'm doing the same thing. Pay attention. Write this number down. Now, you should keep this number just in case. Because you can call this radio station.
They should put it right in the cell phones, Joe.
You can
WCNO.
Yeah. And that's not that many letters to remember.
No. WCNO. Put the number. 1-888-2. They don't even need the one in the cell phone.
You don't need the one in the cell phone.
No.
888-221-8990. Now, that's toll-free from any place. And that number has worked all the way over to the Abacos in the Bahamas. Because I was over there last year listening to the radio station. My show, which I was not live on. Was the guest up. 888-221-8990.
I'm just listening. God, sorry.
Vince, what are you laughing about?
A private joke. Only I know about it.
Only you know about it.
Right. I'm cracking myself.
Would I be embarrassed?
Yes, you probably would.
Okay, good. Then just don't tell it. I tell jokes about Dave, but he doesn't get embarrassed easily.
No, he doesn't. No,
ever since.
Neither does Pastor Tom, and I'm sure Pastor Jonathan the same way.
Well, once Dave learned what a pizza was, you know, that helped a whole bunch.
That really answered a lot of life questions. That and the Bible, you know. I read the Word of God. That's very powerful. And the pizza thing is a great analogy.
That and the Bible.
To a lot of stuff.
That and the Bible.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the Bible first. Let's put things in context.
You know, I was thinking about you today. Can you believe that?
Wow. I'm impressed.
Well, it wasn't that good.
Okay.
You know, Jonathan and listen, I'm looking at you two guys as leaders of the pack here, mm-hmm. because you're closest to the door and I can't get past you anyway. So that's. But what I'm looking at is, When you have clergymen that are ordained ministers, you guys have gone through a good amount of training to. Mm. Every once in a while, I think about how prayer works, personally, and there's different ways to pray. Now, this is Joe Martek talking. This is not Jonathan or Dave. And I listen to Dave prayer. Dave's pretty conventional prayer. You know, he starts off with "Dear Heavenly Father," and we go into a prayer. Joe Martek doesn't pray that way. I say, you know, it kind of reminds me of George Patton during the Second World War. You ever hear this story, Jonathan? During the Battle of the Bulge, which was the turning point in the Second World War, Patton was the general in the army, and it wasn't going well. In fact, it was going poorly. We were going to lose. The Allies were going to lose. And it was raining and fogged over, and back then they did not have the technology to bring the airplanes in to bomb. Because they couldn't see anything. They had to be able to see it. So Patton decided he better go pray and straighten this whole situation out. So he went into a church and knelt down and prayed. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but I have heard this quote, and I've heard it different ways, but it's pretty close to what I'm going to say. And he said, "Sir, whose side are you on? All I want is 4 days. I'm asking you for 4 days of good weather, because we deserve to win." And guess what happened? He got 4 days of good weather. My point is, I think there's different ways to pray, and it depends on the person. But would you not, I mean, come on, you guys. God listens to prayers, and they don't need to be delivered in the same exact mode from different people, as long as the prayer is genuine and honest from their heart.
From the heart, God's going to answer it the way he intends to answer it anyway. But he knows our needs before we ask. So asking is more for us, because God, we don't benefit God when we ask. I mean, he's going to bless us in the way he knows we need to be blessed. And but yeah, there's different ways to pray.
I have been very, very, very fortunate in here, because you know, Jonathan, you don't, but my son almost died last year. And it was a horrific time for me, and I begged for prayers, and we had people that went out of their way, and many people listened to the show that prayed, and my son came through, and he's fine. Now, my son doesn't know exactly what we went through here, or what I went through, begging for the prayers, but hey, I have watched, and you have watched, and you have watched, and you have watched, Vin, the power of prayer and what it has done. So what we try to do with this, with our show, is to let people know that we're trying to do the right thing to help people make good decisions for them while they're alive and for their families in case they're not alive anymore. And we've been very blessed, and we've been able to help a lot of people and direct people. Vince has very often helped people start up businesses and make sure they stay out of trouble, and that's part of the mission. We got a call.
Take it.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, hi. I'm calling with a question regarding Social Security. I'm not sure if you guys could answer any questions regarding Social Security.
We've got a pretty good working. It happens to us regularly. Go ahead.
Okay, well, about a month ago, my mom was asked to go to the Social Security office, and she did. And she's currently on Social Security. So she went for her appointment, and she sat there, and I guess they were doing a review. I'm not familiar with any of this because I'm still not at that age, or how any of this works. But they were reviewing her, and I guess what she gets, her benefits. And they come across that due to her having a little bit of money in the bank, that they were going to have to stop giving her her Social Security benefits.
SSI. It's not pure Social. How old is your mom?
My mom is 71.
Okay. Let me go back and go backwards. Was your mom on disability before she turned 65?
No.
Yes?
No, she was not. She was not on disability. She applied for her Social Security at the early
age, 62. Okay.
Yes.
So she got her Social Security, which is a lower amount than if you wait till your full retirement age, which today is 66 or so, right, Vince?
Right. Depends on your age, but yeah, 66.
So she's been collecting Social Security all this time, correct?
Yes.
And then now they call up and said, hey, come on in because we think we overpaid you. Is that basically what they're saying?
Well, she didn't tell me that. I don't know if that's what exactly they told her, but I know they were more concerned with her having some money in the bank.
No.
And
no.
It just didn't make any sense to me.
Absolutely. The reason I asked you if she was on disability, because if you are on disability, this means you're not collecting Social Security. You're on disability income, which is done through the Social Security Administration. They say, if we are going to pay you because you cannot work, you cannot have extra money because you don't need us. But if you are collecting disability income, they don't want you to have this extra money. Now, if it's just pure Social Security, nothing to do with disability, but the fact that she worked and now she's old enough to collect Social Security, or she's a spouse and old enough to collect Social Security, regular income, that should have nothing to do with her having any money in the bank. Am I right, Vince?
Absolutely right. That makes no sense at all, Jim.
None.
Because they're not looking at the income for Social Security.
No. Now,
not yet, anyway, and you know,
here
comes
a caveat. If she's 62 or 63 or 64, underage, full retirement age, and she's collecting too much money and she's working and she's making more money than she's supposed to work to collect this Social Security, they might say she's being overpaid and they want some money back based on the fact she was working from the time she was 62 until she's 65.
Even in that case, Joe, once you turn normal retirement age, full retirement age, your disability converts to Social Security.
But if it's not disability, let's say she was 62 or 63 making $20,000 a year and collecting Social Security, and she may not have been had to give back, she may not have given back a portion.
But it wouldn't take them 8 or 9 years to catch up to her.
No,
she's 71 years old now. They would have caught up to her at 66.
So what? So what? What ended up?
I'm gonna have to find out then if she actually applied at disability or the regular retirement Social Security, correct?
What you want to do is say, Mom, when you got your first check, had you applied for disability income because you couldn't work? Or did you apply for early retirement and you couldn't work, or you did work? Those three questions. And now what you can do, you can call back on the radio station anytime. You leave your name and number. If you can't find out, I will help you ask the questions with Social Security. But you can go with your mom, make another appointment, and go down to Social Security and find out what the absolute truth is. But the questions are these. Did she get Social Security disability income? One. If two, she got early Social Security income because she was under full retirement age, which just means 62, 3, 4, 5. And if she did she continue to work? And if she made too much money, they may want some money back. But like Vince said, it doesn't make sense that they would wait this long. So we need to know the questions, because we don't know the answers until we know the question.
I was also the same as you. Even though I don't know any of the actual procedure, but I knew something didn't sound right, so I was like, and she got all flustered, of course, and she couldn't.
Well,
really,
of course. Here's what
tell me exactly, and I really don't know what she applied for. I was like, something is not right.
Where does your mom live? Where does your mom live?
My mom lives in New Jersey.
Okay, here's what happens. You can do a conference call with them and your mom and Social Security to find out, but you need to find out from your mom first if she knows the answers. If she does not, it might necessitate either somebody in Jersey. You have a sister or a brother or anybody up there close by?
Yes, my brother.
Okay, he could go with mom to the Social Security office in Jersey where your mom is, and they would explain this thing so you and he and she would all understand it.
But yes, because they totally cut her off. She is now getting nothing, and now we're all scrambling because we have to support her.
Makes no sense.
It makes no sense. We need to know what the questions are. It could be a mistake. I hope for your sake it is. But the number one thing is first, talk to your mom first. You can call back to the radio station. I'd be more than happy to talk to you and or your mom or your brother. And Vince, awesome. CPA, the two of us would be glad to help you with this thing, because whatever the situation is, we can get it rectified and we can find out for sure what the facts are. So you started
and
off.
I did hear somebody in the background there in your office saying that you can transfer disability over to the normal.
It automatically, Cole, it automatically changes over to a normal Social Security
when you get full retirement age.
So if you were on disability, it will convert. So at that time, if there was an error in calculating her disability benefit, they would have contacted her about the time she applied. She approached normal retirement age.
But they should have notified her in writing of what was going on, and then if she went down to see them, if you or your brother or nobody went down there, that your mom could have been totally intimidated. And
yes.
Let me ask another question.
She feels that way. She definitely felt that way. Right. And, you know, they told her that she's going to have to spend the money that she has in the bank. And they stopped giving her all kind of benefits.
Now, that sounds like disability income.
Let me just ask one quick question, caller. Was your mom ever previously married? Was she married more than once?
My mother's never been married.
Oh, she was never married. Okay, that ruled that out. Okay.
Hey, you got our number here. You start the homework. You call back, and we'd be glad to call you back off air and help your mom anytime. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling, and we're out of time, and we're told we have to leave. Thank you for calling, and we'll help you.
Yes. God bless you.
1-888-221-8990. Remember this. We will help you with this, and this is nothing that we haven't done before.
Joe, what I was leading up to before.